This is going to be a very, very busy program. It is Thursday, August the 1st, 2013. Time again for Afternoons with Amos, the talk show of record of our African-American community. I'm Amos Brown. Glad to have you here. In our 2 p.m. hour, we will talk live with the president of the City County Council, Maggie Lewis, about the looming budget crisis in Indianapolis and what we need to do about it and what our mayor is not doing about it. That alone would make the program exciting. But it is the stunning news that hit Indianapolis about a little after 9 a.m. this morning and came to fruition literally 2 hours ago from Tallahassee, Florida. Dr. Tony Bennett, who on Monday was embroiled in a massive scandal involving his decision to unilaterally change the grade of an Indianapolis charter school so that it would match what he had been going around the state telling people that school should have been, has now quit as the commissioner of education for the state of Florida. 3 days after the scandal was broken by the Associated Press and the story published in newspapers not only across Indiana, but literally around the nation and around the world. Quit. And you'll hear his resignation statement a little bit later in this hour. In that statement, Dr. Bennett alluded to other information that might come out. And literally, minutes after his press conference, the Indianapolis Star posted a column by columnist Matt Tully where he reveals that Dr. Tony Bennett's wife now works at the company that runs 3 of the 4 IPS takeover schools, Charter USA. What else is going to come out of this is one of the questions that a lot of people here in the state of Indiana are asking, including our classroom teachers. Not only are they asking the questions about the Bennett scandal, they're also questioning, you know, how do we get back to a coherent and logical system of evaluating Indiana's public and private schools. Rick Muir is the president of AFT Indiana. That is one of the labor organizations that represent classroom teachers throughout the state of Indiana. And Rick Muir joins me live. Welcome, sir.
Thanks for having me.
Initially, you guys are planning in a few minutes to have a press conference down at the State House to talk about the A through F grading system for our K through 12 schools here in Indiana. But what was your reaction when you heard about the resignation of Tony Bennett in Florida?
Well, you know, I'm not going to deny that I thought it should have happened. It was probably not my first, my second reaction was it was probably not his idea, but neither here nor there.
Mm-hmm.
I felt sorry for the people of Florida, the students, the communities, and the public education system when I heard they had hired him. And so I'm not really surprised.
As we look at the A through F system, do we need to mend it, not end it? Do we need to blow it up and start from scratch? Do we need to not evaluate schools on the basis of a one-letter grade?
Amos, let me say this. We need to immediately put a stop to the process we're using, the A to F. We have always, we meaning AFT Indiana, meaning educators from Lake Michigan to the Ohio River, we have always felt that it was a flawed system, flawed from the beginning. And in fact, there was a hearing here in Indianapolis held by the Department of Ed on whether or not to adopt it, and I think 35 people spoke at that hearing. All 35 spoke against it, including the chamber.
Mm-hmm.
They were not listened to at its conception. It still passed, and we had a system that set schools in Indiana up for failure. That's what we believed. It has become true, and now when you add the manipulation to make charter schools look better, to change their grades, this confirmed what many of us have always believed. It was a system to fail schools so that failed schools were turned over to for-profit. Now listen to the word for-profit,
mm-hmm.
management, companies. For-profit means those companies were going to come in, and for-profit means they put so many dollars in their pocket before they spend anything on education. But to answer your question, we think that this current system should be put on, should be stopped. Mm-hmm. And no, we are not, to answer your second question. The AFT Indiana is not, and teachers in Indiana are not afraid of and believe there should be evaluation and accountability. But accountability and evaluation that's fair, based on progress, and on the same playing field for all. Now, here's the difference for what we believe should happen and what's happened with the current process we're asking to be put on hold, dismantled, redone. The current process simply says that if you fail, you're turned over to a for-profit corporation. We think a school that's not up to par and where the new process would indicate they need assistance should be given the tools and the help necessary to improve, not be closed and turned over to a corporation.
Let me ask you, we're with Rick Muir. He's the president of AFT Indiana, represents thousands of teachers all across the Hoosier State. Let me ask you, I mentioned this on the program yesterday, your members, classroom teachers, I mean, everybody's getting ready to start school, and in that first day with students and when the parents come in for parent-teacher night, your members, classroom teachers, whether they're your members or not, are always telling the students, here's how my grades in class are going to be determined. And they break it down based on the classroom participation and the midterm and the final and quizzes and homework and special projects. It's all broken down for everybody to see. If we have an evaluation system for our schools, should that system be so simple that anybody could understand it?
It should be simple, it should be well thought out, it should have input, and it should be transparent.
Mm-hmm.
And it should be the most excellent process that can be developed. So answer your question, it should be transparent.
Should there also, and I asked this of people the other day as the story of the Tony Bennett scandal was breaking, should we change state law and prohibit school board members and individuals who have an interest in running a public school or a charter school from making campaign contributions? Should we get some of this money out of the process?
Without a doubt. All you have to do, Amos, if I may call you Amos.
Sure.
All you have to do in this, whatever you want to call it, scandal, in mm-hmm. this process, mm-hmm. is follow the money.
Mm-hmm.
Follow the money. And in this one case that brought Tony Bennett down, you can follow the money, but you can follow the money well beyond Tony Bennett. You can follow the money that came to the Daniels administration, the Pence administration, and to legislators, some legislators who stand by and support this ed reform, this so-called ed reform. Follow the money. It's from big business. It's from a group like ALEC, that's changed their name, I think, now. It's from other big corporations with an agenda. Follow the money, and it should be stopped. You know, I was on city council for 16 years. I no more than would vote on something if I had a business that was going to profit
mm-hmm.
than the man in the moon. I mean, you shouldn't be a part and party to something you're going to benefit from financially or any other way. And, you know, I could talk forever about this board you're talking about, school board, but you didn't ask me, so I'm sorry.
That's all right, Rick Muir. I'm going to let you go and get ready for your press conference at 1:30 down in the State House to talk about this. I bet you're going to have a big crowd.
I hope so.
All right, Rick Muir, the president of AFT Indiana, thanks very much for being with us. We move on our live line to the Democratic leader of the House of Representatives in the state of Indiana, State Representative Scott Piloff. Representative, this has been a stunning fall from grace, maybe one of the sharpest falls from grace of anyone who's ever been connected in Indiana politics in a long time.
Well, let me tell you, I'm only going to disagree with you on one small point,
okay.
Amos, and that's the word stunning. I would say it was a quick one, but the truth of the matter is that many observers of the Indiana Department of Education under Tony Bennett's rule are not particularly surprised by this, because this A through F system has never been about common sense accountability. It's always been about telling the story they want told to people they want to hear it in pursuit of a particular political goal. And I think that's finally what got exposed. I think the only thing that's a bit shocking is that it was so easy to figure out.
When you read the emails, Representative Pilov, what stuck out in your mind?
What stuck out in my mind was just the brazenness. The idea that they already knew what outcome they needed to achieve. It didn't matter what schools were doing. It didn't matter who got hurt, because we've already seen the reports about how some IPS schools were adversely affected.
Right.
Those things didn't seem to bother anyone. It was just sort of a mindless pursuit of a set mission. And what's sad about that, Amos, is that, certainly, there's grown-ups that get hurt, but there's kids that get hurt by that.
Mm-hmm.
And people, regardless of their political affiliation, I like to think that most people care about what's happening to the kids. Tony Bennett always said that the only thing he cared about was the kids. But it seems like there were some other thoughts at work.
Correct me if I'm wrong. I know during the last legislative session there were concerns on both sides of the aisle, in both the House and the Senate, about the A through F grading system. I think that led members of the legislature to kind of put some stick some things in some legislation to try to encourage the superintendent of public instruction, now Glenda Ritz, to try to clean it up. Are you concerned that she's going to try to clean it up, but this State Board of Education may resist any attempts to modify the A through F system?
Well, I got to tell you what, the past administration and what we've seen so far in the first few months of this one, well, there's a different tone and you have mm-hmm. different personalities at work. There's often this temptation just to double down on everything.
Mm-hmm.
And look, most Hoosiers support some accountability in some way.
Mm-hmm.
They realize that we spend tax dollars on education. We've got to understand what the results are so we can make good decisions for the kids. But what I'm worried is we're going to just kind of get this this unfettered attachment to the A through F system, which already now has had its credibility undermined and which clearly needs a lot of reworking and rethinking. But I'm worried that they're just going to attach themselves to that particular concept, regardless of what the facts are, because it fits in with their ideology, when really what we need is just fairness. We need good information so we can make good and sometimes tough decisions. That's all we need.
Representative, is part of it the fact that it is a system that uses letter grades and everybody understands what, A through F? But when you get to the classifications of A's and B's, there are some A schools where virtually every kid in that school is passing the test, where like 90, 95% of the kids are passing. You name the I-step, they're passing it. But then there are other schools that are getting an A. Maybe 90% of the kids are not passing, but it reached the A level because the growth and the improvement of the kids in that school, merited under this Tony Bennett system where you got extra bonus points, would go up. And so you got A's where if this were just a regular paper in a classroom, you wouldn't get an A.
That's right. I mean, look, if a school's improving, then say they're improving.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And if they're doing pretty good overall, say they're doing pretty good overall. It's okay for the taxpayers to know those things. But when you take something as rigid as A through F and you run it through these preset prisms of desired outcomes, then really all you're just saying is that we want to praise this group over here because we like them, and we want to disparage this group over here because we don't like them. And, realtors, it's okay if people's property values plummet. Businesses, it's okay if you move away. Kids, it's okay if you give up because you've been told you're an F and your teachers are Fs. We just need to get away from that because we're dealing with complex systems involving human beings, and that entails a lot more than bumper sticker slogans and solutions.
In his resignation, Tony Bennett talked about, you know, he didn't want to be a distraction to the people of Florida, and I think he was fearful of other things coming out. Nobody was quite sure what that meant, and then a few minutes after the press conference, you may not be aware of this, the Indianapolis Star has posted a story where Tony Bennett's wife works for the corporation that runs three of the IPS takeover schools. Tony Bennett has asked for the inspector general to look into this, which is very unusual because usually you don't ask the inspector general to come in and clear your name.
No, and as a matter of fact, I don't know. Maybe the inspector general will. I mean, they seem to not be too interested in looking at their own party, is my impression.
I've never seen anything great coming out of
there. The inspector general can be a rough thing if you're the wrong party affiliation or you're just a state employee forgot to remove your ex-spouse from your insurance. But, you know, if you're going to work at a major university or you own land around a new highway being built and you're a Republican, they don't seem to be quite as interested. So, well, I don't know what that process may yield. But honestly, the only panel, the only court that matters to me is the court of public opinion. And I think if anything good comes out of this, it's going to be that the public is going to become skeptical of how they view news about the schools, because they're often passed through a political prism. But really what we need, and I think the public needs, is just good information so we can make the right decisions with our tax dollars and have more bright and educated young people here in Indiana that stick with us after they're done with their school.
You also talked in your statement that you issued earlier this morning on this, that and you caution that the A through F grades for schools, there's a dollar factor there. The wrong grade, your property values of a neighborhood can plummet, businesses can relocate, people lose jobs, kids give up. As part of any evaluation, do we need to evaluate the psychic effects of all of this?
Well, you know, I think in many ways, Amos, those are the most important effects. They're also the hardest to measure, because you know, when do you identify the point when maybe a kid in middle school is teetering between do I buckle down and try to play by the rules and study, or do I just give up? Mm-hmm. And look, that's why you need to. You need schools that are supported with engaged teachers, because the battle in education is a battle that has to be fought one kid at a time. And when we stop doing that and we just use these cookie-cutter solutions and say, well, charters are all the answer or vouchers are all the answer, or just letting things run by themselves is all the answer, none of those things by themselves are the entire solution. But that underscores the need why you need honesty, you need transparency, and you need to understand all the effects that are imposed upon these individual kids' lives. Because it's not just what happens in the classroom. What happens before and after school, too. We've got to be honest about that problem also.
Scott Piloff, the minority leader of Democrats in the Indiana House of Representatives, thanks very much for being with us. Glad to have you.
Anytime, Amos. Thank you. Look forward to it next time.
I appreciate it. You've heard the perspective of teachers. You've heard the perspective of legislators. Let's get the perspective of a parent. Delana Ma is with Parent Power, a parent activist here in Indianapolis in IPS. Delana, welcome. Your reaction to the resignation of Tony Bennett?
Yay! And it's a long time coming, and I think that this is actually going to have a domino effect, because I know that more stuff, the way that, you know, when stuff like this happens, you know, more things will come out. You know, since the governor, his emails came out about, you know, the Howard Zinn and those emails came out. I mean, there's going to be more. I think that this also, you know, as a parent, we have to start looking. Like I said, I always say we have to look at the schools individually, mm-hmm. then the systems, and like what he was talking about, you know, at the legislative level and everything. Tony Bennett had too much power. Mm-hmm. He had the super majority. He had the state round table. And I mean, and he was shocked when he lost. because of the people. And then these grading, the grading of the school, and, you know, I had said publicly several times that whole idea of the psychological effects of the children who see these, you know, bogus booklets like the Great School Booklet or whatever it's called that's, you know, touted at the library and of PBS and everything like that. And it's just like, what measure are we making this a great school? Mm-hmm. And if you have the only measure you have are test scores, then there's a problem because we know the testing is flawed. The whole system is flawed.
Is there any is part of any evaluation of schools, you know, can you create a fair and equitable A through F grading system, or should the grading system, instead of being letters, be more descriptive?
They have to be more descriptive. Tell me what makes an A. Tell me what makes a B. You know, and it's definitely, like I said, it has to be more than testing. And we have to look at what goes on in these individual schools, in these individual districts. Mm-hmm. And like you said, you know, charters aren't the answer, and yet we keep getting them. And like what you were saying earlier, when it came to, you know, the fact that Tony Bennett's wife, you know, she was regional director of a school. Now, this wasn't like news. It just happened to be in the news today, but it was like, when it was happening, it was all out in the open, and that's what the public has to understand. All of this stuff has been, you know, hidden in plain sight. People have to know why all of this matters, because it's all about money, and it's about our capitalist white supremacist patriarchal society that creates these kind of conditions. And so then everybody goes, oh, well, I can't believe his wife was. I said, of course, everybody gets a cut. Mm. You know, Teach for America, you know, they had ties for Teach for America. Look at our mayor's office, Teach for America. Mm-hmm. Graduates. You know, these people need a job after they're done playing in these schools for 2 years. We have to look at this, and we have to go, and why aren't we? And Amos, you have done just an excellent job of reporting this stuff, and, you know, but it's like there has to be more. It needs to be out there in the open for, you know, just the regular person who's sending these children, or like who send their children to school and go, oh, I'm taking my kid out of IPS. Hey, it doesn't matter if it's in IPS or if it's in Wayne or if it's in Pike. They're all having the same type of problem.
Is this also a lesson for kids that reinforces, you know, cheaters eventually never win?
Exactly. Well, you know what? And they never win, but we'll see. You know what I mean? Like, he stepped down, but he's the people got his back.
Yeah.
And the thing is, that's the problem. What they tell kids is that, you know, things could be fair. And sometimes life, you know, is fair. And I'm like, most of the time, if you are poor and of color, you better believe that life is not going to be fair. Get it through your head.
Yeah, one of the things, and everybody's still trying to find out, because Tony Bennett has said, well, we changed the formula and 12 schools benefited. I'm still looking for the other 11 schools that got the benefit.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, and like they put stuff out there. And this is a call to parents. To wake up. These, like, they put out stuff all the time, and they, you know, talk about these parent involvement, and they can't get parents involved. But I said, what happens when they are involved? Parents like me, it's like you read it and your mind goes, what? You know, it's overwhelming. That's why we need more empowerment. If you had empowerment, this stuff wouldn't happen, because you would understand that schools are political. They're not neutral at all. And the fact that if you are in a poor neighborhood, you're going to have a poor school. Period. And Indianapolis, show me one that's actually, you know, community based, and the kids and the community are together working to improve their lives. It doesn't happen, because even the ones that are, you know, touting community schools, they don't have, they're not employing people from the community. It's people coming in and telling you how to run things. whether it's your school, your businesses, and all that other stuff.
Delana,
and if we end these, we don't benefit.
Delana Ma, parent activist in IPS, thanks very much for being with us, talking about the stunning fall from grace of Dr. Tony Bennett, who has resigned as the Commissioner of Education in the state of Florida. Let me go to Rod Bohannon, who has been working on education issues for a number of years. How stunning is this fall, Rod?
Well, surprising to me. I didn't think he would resign. So it must have been some other stuff out there, or it may be a real question. I've been reading on the blog and hearing on the talk show was about a question about his credibility, and I think the issue was they weren't sure or didn't feel the stuff he may be doing in Florida that they can trust what was going on. And I think trust is a big factor in everything you do.
Looking at the timing of this, the fact that Bennett in his resignation remarks alluded to other things that were out there, and then after his statement, all of a sudden the Indianapolis Star posts a story about Mr. Bennett's wife working for Charter Schools USA, which runs Emma Donnan Howe and Manuel. Even though she works in Florida and supervises Florida schools, it just looks bad. And I'm wondering did he obviously knew about that, and is he now starting to remember all them other emails he wrote?
Well, here's an interesting question. I mean, why is the Star only now beginning to look at this? I mean, that question about his wife being involved was known in the education arena for a while. And you got to understand, I mean, you and I have talked about it. You know, the young brother from out of IU who was getting his doctorate degree raised the question in terms of you look at the Neal plan, all the folks who are connected and where they're coming from, how they intertwine. So where's the Star in turn to begin looking at this issue? I think they fell down and decided they bought the milk or the Kool-Aid, and now they're finding out there's some issues here. Instead of doing what they're supposed to be as a newspaper and saying, we're going to be a newspaper, we're going to look to make sure that things are fair and things are up and up. So we need to now look in turn when you look at here in Indianapolis being proposed by the mayor's office and the deputy mayor and Neil and the mine trust and begin looking at all those connections and try to figure out, is it really about education of children, or is it about, I've always said, and as the president of the AFT says, about the money.
Is this also a serious black eye, a serious oops upside the head for school reform here in Indiana? You mentioned the mayor's charter school office. We're sitting here with a $60 million city budget deficit. Should that office be scaled back, or maybe the revenue from that office should just be the revenue that they're getting for monitoring the four takeover schools?
Well, you had two issues. One has to do with, in terms, we still don't know why the mayor's office is having a Department of Education. It's never really talked about that. And then is that the role of the mayor's office? That's a public policy question that the citizenry, the council, the mayor would be having, but that's not being said. But the second issue, unfortunately, you know, the horse is out the barn. They're down the road to turn to school reform. And so it's going to be pushed by a variety of interests. Your last speaker talked about that parents and people who are interested in education have got to step up to the table and begin to understand who's pushing it, this agenda. Why is it being pushed? What is it about? As I've always said, is if it's about education, let's raise the question. Last year they kept saying they wanted to deal with preschool and get money to the legislature. If you notice, none of the folks who are at school reform appeared at the legislature, pushed the issue. I have yet to hear at the turn of a study commission this summer, which is where you get those bills being pushed at the legislature. So there is no study commission this legislative summer to talk about preschool and pre-kindergarten and the state funding. Have you heard the mayor's office speak about it?
No.
Have you heard the mine trust begin to rally the troops around it? Have you heard the Chamber of Commerce? So the real issue is, do they really care about, really about education reform, or is it about money? We know what it takes to run schools. We know that kids can't eat or they're not eating, what happens to kids. We know that a lot of kids have a lot of drama that's taking place daily in their homes, and when they come to school with that, it takes a while to get situated down so you can begin to get to the focus on learning. Those are the issues not being said.
While you were talking, just got an email from the governor. The governor of the state of Indiana, Mike Pence, has now urged the Department of Education to complete a thorough and timely review of the questions surrounding the 2011-2012 A through F letter grades and report those findings at the next state Board of Education meeting in August. The next board meeting is this coming Wednesday, August the 7th. According to the governor's press secretary, Kara Brooks, the governor says he believes in accountability and that students, parents, and teachers deserve to know that the state has a fair and impartial grading system that accurately describes the performance of our schools. So today, at the direction of the governor, Claire Fidian Green, who's now the Special Assistant for Education, Innovation, and Reform for the governor, has urged the Department of Education to conduct this timely finding. And then the governor says, after the Department of Education reports its findings, the governor believes we will be able to make an informed decision about how we might best ensure public confidence in an A through F grading system going forward. That's awful fast for Governor Pence to be moving.
Well, if you so it must be some other thing sitting out there that we don't know yet.
Mm-hmm.
But if he's asking for them to make this report by next Wednesday, how thorough a job can you do in 3 days?
I know. The superintendent of public instruction, Glenda Ritz, put out a statement yesterday that they were reviewing the last year's grading system. So she may already be working with it. She was concerned as to whether the State Board of Education would agree with any of her recommendations, and that's a fair thing. I think now the governor is saying, okay, let's get the report and let's get some stuff done. But anyway, you made some good points, my brother, as always, Rod Bohannon.
One last point.
Yeah.
You may want to call IPS and ask them, now that we know in terms of, they say the 11 schools got the benefit, but the two schools for IPS did not, does the board tend to go back and ask for a reexamination? And if that happens, what then do it happen to these three schools that were taken over by Mr. Bennett and given to two of them to his wife's organization? But I have yet to hear from IPS. I realize they got a new superintendent, but I think that question needs to come from the board, and the board president said, what are you doing about that?
That's a good point, my brother. I appreciate it. Thank you. 239-1310. 239-1310. It's afternoon's name is. We'll get your calls. We'll also let you hear the full statement of Tony Bennett that he made about 2.5 hours ago. I believe it was Tallahassee, Florida. I got to check that, whether it was Tallahassee or some other city in Florida, where he announced his resignation as the commissioner of education for that state.